Before we begin, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for opportunity to study Thy precious word. As we look into Thy sacred pages, Father, may Thou lead and direct us to a right understanding of the Holy Scriptures, that we may know what it means to be a Christian and how we should obey Thee. All these things we ask and pray in Jesus' most blessed name. Amen. Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we shall read responsively from verse 17 to verse 40. That is the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17 to 40. First Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17. Responsively, I shall begin with verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. Yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not thou to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity but have power over his own will, and is so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well.
The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. The Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. We have just covered the first 17, or rather the first 16 verses of the chapter of this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And this chapter covers with many issues pertaining to marriage and singlehood. Last week especially, we saw many situations that involves marriage, like how a married couple should not divorce, especially if they are believers. Then if they are married, if they are married and one is a believer and one is an unbeliever, how to go about things. And for example, if the one that is unbelieving does not want to stay with the believer, how to go about things. And we cover many scenarios. Of course, this is not to say that 1 Corinthians 7 covers all the possible scenarios. What Paul is trying to do is to give some principles of how we should approach the issue, and we realize that foremost in Paul's mind, especially when you talk about a couple having been married before and then due to certain circumstances are now divorced, he would always seek the couple to be reconciled. And so therefore, even let's say for example you have a believing one party is a believer and the other party is unbelieving, and the unbelieving party put away the believing party and went to seek another person to be together. Then how should this believing party react? You realize that Paul would teach that this believer should always make decision based upon the principle of seeking reconciliation. And so it is my conviction that in the scriptures, so long as the other party is still alive, the one who is a believer should seek to stay single. The only clear commandment or the only clear permission given by the scriptures for this believing party to seek another person to be married to will be when? Right, the other party, right, has already passed away, right? Has already died. And then the permission is clear. This believing party is now free to go and seek another person is free to be married to another person. Okay? Now, all these arguments regarding different cases of marriage and divorce falls in this whole chapter of marriage and singlehood. And so don't forget the big picture in which Paul is trying to tell the Corinthian Christians is this: whether you are single or whether you are married, right, you stick to the particular calling in which you are called to. And here he will therefore reiterate this concept, this teaching. But as God have distributed to every man. Why distributed? The whole understanding, therefore, of singlehood and marriage, firstly, is that whether you are called to be single or whether you are called to be married, it is a gift from God. This is the particular calling in which God has called you to. He will grant you the spiritual grace to fulfill your calling. So therefore, if the Lord have called you to be married, he will grant you the grace to fulfill the responsibilities of married life. If the Lord had called you to be single, this is also a gift from God. Now you can use your gift of singlehood for his glory, and the Lord will also grant you the grace to go through your life of singlehood. And this is what God has distributed to everyone as a spiritual gift. The other the other thing, of course, you will realize that term which I use is the term calling, right? So you see the next part of verse 17, as the Lord have called everyone, right? So both a gift as well as a calling. Whatever God has given to you, whatever is His will, walk in God's will. And therefore, this is the particular principle I now, the Apostle Paul, ordain in all churches. This is what I set in place. Right, so apostolic authority being evoked here. Okay, so this is the principle. So what a person should do now is this, right? Every one of us here should know what is the calling which God has given to us. Okay, of course, those of us who are married, we are married. Okay, we are already married. So as you will see later on, verse 27, art thou bound unto the wife, seek not to be loose. Right, so married is married, settled. But I think those that are possibly be concerned will be those who are single. True? Right? The widows, of course, also, right, God's word will be clear. But with regards to the single, right, many times these are the ones who will keep asking, should I be married? Should I remain single? So some will go and say, I want to be single and will keep becoming single. I will want to stay single all the way. Right? Several of the young people, after having learned 1 Corinthians 7, started to say that. Don't be too early to say, right? As we have seen from the Westminster Confession of Faith, or Westminster Larger Catechism last week. Oh, this really reminds me of the scenario where last time I had a friend who says that I will never become a teacher. He was from NTU Engineering, and he will point always to the NIE. You know, NIE building is somewhere in NTU, and somewhere in the middle. Right, so here from the engineering faculty, you go to certain areas, you can see the NIE building, and NIE building is a circle. I do not know why they designed NIE building to be a circle, but it is a circle. It's one round, right? Almost like a stadium, like that, one round. So you point to that particular place and say, "I will never go into NIE to become a teacher." It was an FCM, right? He said that. Then we were shocked that after that, when we go about, we find our jobs and everything. After a few years, we heard this person is now in NIE as a teacher. I will never be. You know, he was very fierce. No, you all go. I will never step inside there. He stepped inside there. I think until today, he's still a teacher. Right. So, important thing. Right, go step by step, slowly discern the Lord's will, and whatever the Lord has ordained for you, abide in your particular calling. And so here, he will now talk about this general principle, not just in terms of marriage, but in general terms, right? So, for example, if you are called to be, is any man called being circumcised, let him not be uncircumcised. That means if you are called to be a Jew and you have already been circumcised, there's no need for you to try undo your circumcision. Right, you are circumcised, the Lord has called you to be a Jew, and you are already circumcised, you are now bound as a Jew. Don't seek to be not a Jew, right? That's your particular calling. Is any called unto uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Now, this particular issue will not be addressed so much in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, but you realize will be addressed very much in the book of Galatians, whereby there will be Judaizers who will go into the churches and teach. In order for you to get salvation, it is necessary for you to be circumcised. And that is actually a heretical teaching, because it teaches that in order to find salvation, the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is not enough. You need the additional work of circumcision. Here, Paul says, therefore, now, if this person is therefore a Gentile and he is uncircumcised, there is no need for him to be circumcised, because all he needs is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this particular verse, of course, cannot be applied in the Old Testament times. Now, in the Old Testament times, it's very different, because in the Old Testament times, the weakness is a national weakness. And so, therefore, if you say that you are a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, the commandment of God will require you to be a citizen of Israel. And once you are a citizen of Israel, you therefore need to be circumcised. But now, in this current period of the New Testament church, this is no longer the case. So, there is no need for you, therefore, to seek circumcision. The Lord says, I now the witness, now in this particular period, the weakness is the weakness of the local church. So therefore, if you are called to the local church in Jerusalem, you are Jews, you are called to Jerusalem, no need for you to go and abide by the rules of the Gentiles. You are a Jewish church. But let's say if you are a Gentile and you are found in a local church in a Gentile locality, there is no need for you, therefore, to be circumcised and follow the traditions of the Jews, because my calling for you is to be a witness to the Gentiles over there. Just be in the particular calling in which I have called you to. No need for circumcision anymore. And so therefore, this is the context for verse 19, circumcision is nothing. Now, this is not saying that the Old Testament sacrament of circumcision means nothing. Okay, please don't misinterpret this. Okay, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. And here the commandments of the God would refer to the particular dispensation in which God has given to the particular person. The Lord says, for this particular person, you are not to be circumcised, you are to be a Gentile, abide by whatever God has appointed you to. That's all. So therefore, verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. This is something that is very critical and something which I find personally, okay, by observation, which Christians find it very hard to grasp, even though it's something that may appear very simple written in the scriptures. One problem which Christians often face today is that they simply cannot accept the calling which God has given them to. Whether in terms of the ministry which God has given to them, or whether in terms of whatever spiritual gifts which God has given to them, they just can't accept. It can go two ways. For example, the Lord may have called you to go into the preaching ministry, but there are people who just simply do not want to go into it, even though the Lord has directed them to. And because of that, they become like a Jonah running about, and then the Lord have to finally capture them and send them into the ministry. On the other hand, there are also people who say, hey, look, I just desire to be in this particular, I just want to be a preacher, I want to be a teacher, and so therefore I don't want to, I want this for myself. I'm going to do all kinds of means and engineer my way into the ministry, when that is not your particular calling. The principle, therefore, to paraphrase verse 20, is this: God's will is always the best. God's will is always the best. And when you follow God's will, you cannot go wrong. You cannot go wrong. And so therefore, applying to the situation of the Corinthians, remember they are in the Roman-Grecian society in those days. So in those days, you have slaves, you have masters. Okay, and then, not very much like now. Now, of course, usually it's a master-employee kind of relationship. Last time, more of master-slave, right? You're really a slave. And then, a lot of times, people will fight very hard, right, to obtain the status of a free man. Right? Once you're a free man, that means you're not bound to a master. And not only just that, but the implication would be you will become a citizen of the Roman Empire, and that carries with it many privileges. Actually, the same principle still applies today. For example, right, if you are a Singapore citizen, there are certain privileges. Of course, there are obligations. Right? One obligation for men, of course, would be national service. But there will also be privileges that are given to you as a Singapore citizen, which other people will not have. True? One privilege is the passport. You know, Singapore passport, very powerful, can go anywhere. One thing I'm quite surprised is, what come the Singapore passport has not been used to, you know, been attempted to forge many times by people trying to go anywhere. Well, Singapore, don't know what they put in the passport. Must be something that makes it hard to forge. Or maybe there are one or two countries more powerful than Singapore. But actually very powerful. No? Anyway, you know how many places you can go without having to need a visa? That's just free entry. That is the privilege of a Singapore citizen. Now, you remember all these things and apply to the Corinthian church time, okay? As a slave, they have no privilege. Slaves in those days, not a single privilege. Whatever your master asks you to do, you must do. Once you are a free man, not only can no man command you to do what you needed to do, but then you can use certain privileges granted you by the Roman Empire to do business, to push yourself up in society. So now, Paul writes to the Corinthian Christians, "For he that is caught in the Lord, being a servant," right? If let's say you are caught in the Lord, and then you are now you find yourself to be a slave, know that in the Lord you are actually already a free man. Yes, you may now be a slave under this particular master. You may be bounded by everything that he asks you to do. But don't you know that already in the Lord you have been made free from sin and you are now free to serve the Lord? That is something that you need to know, isn't it? So, as a slave, your perspective of life is, I am actually already free in the Lord Jesus Christ. All I have to do is just to follow whatever the Lord Jesus Christ has asked me to do. And in this particular case, his calling for me is to be a slave. So let me be a slave to this particular master. I am the freest slave there ever is in the whole world. Because I'm already made free by the Lord Jesus Christ from sin. Whereas on the other case, if you happen to be a free man, okay, so you happen to be a free man, unlike all these other people who are now slaves, you are a Roman citizen, you are not bound by the kind of slavery which all these slaves are found in. You have the privileges of the Roman Empire. Please remember, all these privileges that are given to you as a free man, you are not free in the sense to use it to do whatever thing that you like. Is not, you are not free to use it to commit sin. You are not free to use it to pursue a hedonistic, materialistic lifestyle. You are actually bonded to the Lord. You are Christ's servant. You are Christ's slave. You are under Christ. So you have to do the will of Christ. So in other words, whatever calling God has given to you, just abide by it. If you feel that you are so restricted in whatever calling which the Lord has given to you, don't forget, firstly, you have already been made free from sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are actually a free man. But let's say if you happen to be a master, you happen to be given certain privileges which some other people in society don't have, you are the down and out. Please remember that you are actually Christ's slave. You are bounded to him. You are not free to do whatever you like. This liberty which Christ has given to you is not license to sin, but rather is a liberty to serve Christ for his glory. So take note. Ye are bought with a price. Of course, the price is none other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be not ye the servants of men. So any one of you here serve men? Yes? How many of you here are employees of a certain company, work under a certain master? Yes? Anyone here? Yes? Let me ask Hong Hao. Hong Hao, are you under a company? Philips, right? No, Philips Investment. Yes, right? Are you a servant of men? No, I'm not a servant of men. Well, in some sense, right, you can say that he is supposed to serve his employer, but in the bigger picture, he is there in the company because Christ is the one who has called him to be there. And so therefore, he serves there, right, for the glory of God. Right? That is what this verse is trying to mean. Now, Paul now talks about general principle, verse 24, brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Okay, so the general principle, he now settles it once and for all. Once again, he go back to the whole concept of marriage and singlehood, and especially with regards to singlehood now. Okay, so singles, Paul is also very concerned of you. He's not only just concerned about the married ones, okay? Singles, also very concerned. Now, concerning virgins, those who are singles, I have no commandment of the Lord. Now, remember the context in which this is being written. We have already seen various expressions of this before. This does not mean that what Paul writes here is just his opinion and should not be followed. But what Paul is trying to say here is before that, right? Christ or God have not explicitly given any commandment about this. Now, therefore, I write based upon my experience and my judgment, and as the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, I write so. Okay, it is still authoritative words. Okay, so take note. Right, so I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one who have obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. And here the word to be faithful has the understanding of to be trustworthy. Right, to be trustworthy, because this is the, he has called me to be an apostle, and so therefore I write as one who has been given this calling to make sure that you are well advised and you do the things that are right in the Lord. So, singles, what should you take note? Verse 26. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. Now, this word distress is the term telepsis, and sometimes translated in other passages as the word tribulation, and often ties with the focus on physical tribulation. But the question then is, what is this present tribulation which Paul is talking about, that he says, I say that it's good for a man so to be a virgin, to not be married. Okay, so now I ask Hong Hao again. Okay, Hong Hao. So what is this present distress, tribulation that he's talking about? Not sure, huh? Okay, I give you a few, okay? This is verse 26, huh? This person give us a few options. Let me read, huh? You like multiple choice? Like multiple choice, huh? FEBC student like multiple choice, huh? Okay, next time I give a choice, I give the Hebrew student multiple choice, huh? Your batch, multiple choice, okay? A, B, C, D, all the way to Z. Then you choose one answer. You want, huh? Then 100 marks. Either 0 or 100. No, huh? Don't be so happy about multiple choice. It can be very... Sometimes can be... It really test concept. Okay, multiple choice for Hong Hao, though. Not for Shermaine, huh? Or Shermaine can help also if he wants. Okay, first explanation. Number one. Misfortune had happened in the Corinthian community. Perhaps Paul's reference to the weak, sick, and dying indicates a calamity have occurred in the Corinthian church due to, for example, not celebrating the Lord's Supper properly. Do you agree with this? So, A, you don't agree. Okay, second interpretation. Paul alludes to the end of the world in the segment. He's alluding to the last days. And in the last days, there will be many tribulations that Christians have to face. And so therefore, in this current situation where Christians have to face many persecutions, it's better to remain single. No, not true as well. Third, there is a famine in the Greek countryside, which in those days truly, they say in those days, they did their research, they say probably there is. So Paul is saying that in this current situation, in this current situation, for the time being, because there is a famine in the town of Corinth, so therefore better for them to remain single. Because if you get married, you have more mouths to feed. No, I all don't agree. Okay, now you have to suggest one. Okay, let me give you a four. Okay, let me give you a four. This is verse 26 of the wrong verse. What is this present distress that Paul is referring to? Well, so here he says it probably refers to marital problems. Agree? Marital problems. Yes. No. Hong Hao doesn't know. Bun Hao says marital problems. He's nodding his head. Okay, Bun Hao. What you say is marital problems. Okay, so I guess you're trying to say that it's somewhere there in the context, is it? Okay, so can anybody help Boon Hao identify which part of the context that can help us know that this present distress actually talks more about marital problems, marital distresses? If you look down, okay, you realize from verse 32, right? But I would have you without carefulness. Here the word carefulness talk about anxious. I would not have you to be anxious. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. See that? Right, so based upon the context, I'm convinced that here, when he talks about the present distress, it talks more about marital problems that can occur. By the way, when you talk about married life, you know married life can give many problems, you know. If not, you ask Boon Hao. Actually, you can ask me also. You ask all the people who are married. You know, sometimes when couples want to get married, they spend a lot of time planning about their wedding ceremony. Now, true or not? True? They will gather, then they very quickly, 1 year in advance or 2 years in advance, they will start planning. They have a Word document. Nowadays, Word document, and with all the innovation, can have whatever note, one note, whatever, sent to one another, planning, what to go. These are the number of bridal shops. Then what is the program? They take for people this program, plan all the ICs, this thing do what? 7 o'clock, go to this place. 8 o'clock, by this time, must do this. Everything all plan, very nice. And then what is the type of decoration that we must have at the aisle, as well as the area and whatever. And then what is the color scheme of all the brothers? What is the color scheme of all the sisters? And then what is the kind of food that we want to have for the buffet? Well, plan everything. Everything planned just for 1 day. And after that, when they go back within 1 week, quarrel. There are a lot of problems. Suddenly find, this person likes to use Colgate toothpaste. The other person likes to use Dali toothpaste. Cannot even agree which brand to buy. True? Well, this person fold the towel this way. My husband fold the towel this way. Then the wife say, I like to fold the towel this way. After that, they argue. One like to fold in fours, one like to fold in fours, one like to fold one third. All these problems can argue that, and these are just the cream of the problems. I don't want to go into details. What are the other problems that can occur? True? All those who are married longer than I am, what I'm saying is true. True. So all those who want to get married, please be prepared. No. You want to talk about being married, don't just think about the sweetness of walking down the aisle. That one, yes, walk down the aisle. Of course, it is a very meaningful ceremony, because over there, once you come forward, you're going to exchange the wedding vows. That is something that you need to take note, that is something that is spiritual, and you need to understand the significance of making their vows to each other, which we have covered before. Okay, so that's not to say that you anyhow plan the wedding ceremony and don't treat it seriously. No. But you have to understand that this so-called getting married, coming down, is easy. But are you prepared for the married life ahead? Married life ahead, not so easy. This is where, allow me to just jump a few verses, okay? We will come back to these verses here, to come to verses 32, because I feel that this present distress, in order to explain carefully, we need to talk about verse 32 onwards, okay? Now look at verse 32. I would have you without carefulness, he that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. And that is what you can see with a lot of life of young people. Young people, when they grow up, some of them, if they really get a good grounding in the scriptures, you will realize that there are many who are very zealous for the Lord. They go about, they want to do things, and there's really nothing to distract them. I mean, what is the maximum things that can distract the young people from serving the Lord? Besides, okay, the temptations of this world, you have your computer games, all this kind of thing, or for ladies, maybe the dresses or whatever. I do not know what things will attract a lady. I mean, the ladies will know better, right? Then after that, studies, right? Study. Everything else all taken care by parents, right? No worries. Wow, then serve the Lord. Then everybody declare, I would want to serve the Lord to the best of the ability which the Lord has given to me. All kinds of promises. Consecration night at camp. Also make all kinds of promises. True? Resolution. True, huh? Be very careful what kind of resolutions you make. Okay? After that, when you come to married life, you say, well, next time when I'm married, or whether single or married, I want to be like this. Then you come to your married life, then suddenly, one child comes, two child comes, house comes, everything comes. And then you must also learn to please your wife. I mean, husband must take care of your wife. You know, you cannot just say, I get married, and then I leave my wife alone. Or when I'm happy, I need my wife's company, then I go to my wife. When I don't need my wife's company, I kick her away. You cannot say that. And the wife also cannot do the same to the husband. Right? We have done that before. One flesh. There are responsibilities to fulfill. These are now in addition to the various responsibilities you still have as a single. So you, as a single, you have responsibilities, right? You need to look after yourself, correct? Now on top of this, you have to look after your wife, no, or your husband. And if that is not enough, when the child comes to me, you can leave your child alone. You cannot, right? You have to look after the child, right? You look at Alitia looking after Ashriel now. Right? She cannot leave Ashriel. I don't care, Ashriel, you cry or whatever, I leave you alone, I'm going off, mommy want to live the life of a single and walk off. Cannot. She have to look after Ashriel. Married life, additional load. And on top of it, the Lord still calls you to serve Him in other areas in the church or in the workplace. Right? You still have that kind of load. Are you prepared to handle? Now, please, when you take note that when Paul is going to say here that it's better to remain single rather than married, please do not take it such that, no, he's trying to say all these marital problems are bad. Or nobody will get married. He's not trying to say that, no, singlehood is a superior state or what. But he's just trying to, better in the sense, he's trying to present the advantage of singlehood. Advantage of singlehood is you don't need to be burdened by all these things. Whereas those who are married, they will need to pray for God to grant them additional grace so that all these things about the family do not lead them or distract them from other areas of service in the Lord. Now, this does not mean that looking after the child or looking after the husband or doing all your household chores or whatever is bad. No, all these things are also spiritual work. Please take note, okay? Please not think that all these things are secular, whatever, these are distractions, so as little of all these things as possible. Please do not think that way. That is also not right thinking. But what Paul is trying to say here is that there will now be additional load, and this will sometimes come into your life, and this may sometimes distress you. And if God does not grant you that additional grace to fulfill all this additional load which now you have, you are really going to be very troubled. You are really going to be very distressed. Sometimes young people don't know. Maybe sometimes you should really sit down with your parents and ask, what are the kind of hardship you have to face when you go through your married life? You should ask. Young people, you should ask. But parents, please also don't try and present a picture whereby married life is so sour, okay? This is not what Paul is trying to say. Right? Because you are caught to that calling of being a married person, right? And by the grace of God, God has granted you the grace to go through it. It's something that is very sweet. God's calling for you is always the best. But to present the truth that, yeah, when you're married, these are the type of responsibility that go through. And I forgot to mention one more responsibility. Yeah, you talk about wife and everything. Don't forget that you also have, when you're married, in some sense, you're also married to the
the other party's family. So last time you have one family, now you have two families. True? Very true, very true. Two families. Last time you have one family. So let's say Chinese New Year, right? Chinese New Year. Last time you have two families to visit, father's side and mother's side. Now you go and visit your own side, father and mother's side. Your husband or your wife's side, father and mother's side. Times how many? Times two, right? Correct? True? And then two different sets of family meetings and whatever. So be very careful. And so when young people, when you want to get married, you must think about these things. You must also remember when you get married, the other party's family also matter. It forms part of the discernment of God's will. Don't just look at the person, I love you, you love me, and then just go by the passions, and then don't let God direct you with regard to these matters. Very important. But if God have called you to truly be married, you know it's God's will, and then you get married, it's going to be very sweet. Trust me, despite all the problems, all the difficulties, it is going to be very sweet. But yes, there are distresses. There are distresses. So, are you prepared? So that's what verse 34 it says here. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. Right? So the first one talks about the husband, right? So wife, as a married woman and one who is not married, the unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. This is not saying that the married woman is not holy in body and spirit, but this is trying to say that she the unmarried woman have only this singular focus, that is to serve the Lord and make sure that she is kept pure, from the world. But when you get married, you also have to care for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Things of the world doesn't mean pursue after the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, but trying to say that in terms of material things, now you have double to look after. So therefore, Paul says here, and this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you. So this is not to stumble you in any way. For those of you whose God's will is for you to get married, please get married. But I'm just trying to present what is reality to you, what is appropriate, right, for you to know, that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Don't be distracted, therefore, by all this. Should I get married or should I not get married? Should I stay single or should I have a life partner? The kind of issues. Let the Lord lead. And in God's timing, God will direct. And so, therefore, you come back to verse 27. Okay, All these verses are useful to explain verse 26 and onwards. You come back to verse 27. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not thou to be loose. Right, you are already married. Of course, don't seek to be divorced. And if it's God's will for you to get married, don't seek to be loose from it. But art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. And here the word seek here is to go out of the way to find a particular goal. Particular object. Right. No. Don't do so. Right? So don't need to get exceptionally worried. Of course, that does not mean, therefore, that young people or parents shouldn't pray for your children. But how we pray is also important. Sometimes our assumption is that our children will surely get married. What happens if the Lord calls for our children not to get married? Are you ready to accept parents? I mean, if the children not going to get married, it's going to stay in your house for quite some time, you know, before you go off. I know some parents say, quickly go. The faster you leave the house, the better. But what if the Lord's will is for your child to stay single? Don't go and quickly go and find any boy or any girl and then try and put the two of them together. What if it's God's will for your child to be single? In fact, it may happen, and if that happens, okay, fine. But let's say if the Lord directs them to get married, then you know we should really pray right, for our children that they may find a godly life partner, and that the Lord will direct your child to the spouse of his choice. That is also important. It's something that I would urge parents to pray even from even when your children are young. If a single, grant me the grace to accept. But if my children, if it's your will for my children to get married, please help them to find the life partner of your choice. And we pray that this life partner will be one that is godly, so that my child, together with the life partner, can serve you for your glory, and that your word may be magnified. This is something that is important. You should start praying. You should start praying now. And same for the young people. Right? If it's God's will for me to get married, help me not to be. Or if it's God's will for me to be single, help me not to be overly distressed. Because some young people, they are always very distressed about this and get themselves involved into many lusts. Cannot help but emphasize this. Please. No. In fact, it's an advantage. Next time when you get married, some people they cry so long because they cannot get married. And when they get married, they think they have met with the greatest angel they have seen in their whole life, only to find out that actually it brings about all these kind of troubles. And then they turn about and say, and they come and say, Pastor, I regret all my life. I'm going to get married to this man. I should have stayed single. You know, I'm a single lady. I see all my ladies all getting married, and then they get married, and then now I'm 40. Finally 40, I see this man so nice to me, and then I quickly get married. Now I realize I'm in the greatest trouble of my life. Now I cannot divorce my husband. Right? So, pray the Lord. In fact, you should realize that this is the time. Now that you are single, it is the best time for you to serve the Lord and to serve the Lord very well in terms of other areas, whether in the church, in the workplace. You can do so without distraction. Those who are seeking marriage, you really must pray very hard, very, very hard, whether it is God's will for you that this particular person is your life partner. You must really pray. Must really pray very hard. You must really pray very hard, because firstly, you must know whether it's God's will for you to get married. Secondly, if it's God's will for you to get married, whether this particular person is really your life partner. And one way to know it will be, of course, whether or not this person's calling is whether you're not, the other person is prepared to accept your calling. If the other person is not prepared to accept your calling to serve the Lord, you better stop. Because 100%, next time you are going to get into trouble. You want to be you are a Sunday school teacher, for example, or you are called to join the choir, and then you go and join the choir, and then after that, your husband or your wife disagrees. It's going to be a nightmare for you, you know. Then on top of that, you are going to argue about marital problems. You're going to argue about marital problems. That is horrible. That is the worst nightmare you can have, honestly. But if both parties are ready to accept one another's calling, you know that when you go to serve the Lord, you will be very happy, because your husband or your wife will be in support of you. There will be no complaint. And then when it comes to other things, like even things of the family. In fact, before couples get married, you should think through very carefully. Next, for your life ahead. Okay, for your life ahead, how are you going to resolve problems in a spiritual manner? You have to
think very carefully about the life ahead is vital. Not just about the wedding ceremony, not just about how am I going to pay my house, truly. All these things actually secondary, you know, pay house and whatever, the Lord will help. I'm not saying don't plan financially, okay? I'm not saying be very loose in your spending. But all these things, you should plan other things. Spiritually, how are we going to bring up the children? What is the conviction about all these things? Discuss. And make sure that it is God's will that is for the two of you to be together. And it's God's will for the two of you to be together, don't delay. Really don't delay. And that should be the case. Therefore, Paul says here, but, and if thou married, thou hast not sinned. So go, this one he has already mentioned before. No sin for you to marry, but if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Right, so when the Roman Catholic Church talks about celibacy, the doctrine of celibacy is really a doctrine of devils. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. Right? But I spare you. What does Paul mean here by I spare you? He's not trying to say that, he's not trying to gloat over them, say, oh, you want trouble? Like, okay, like, never mind, you go. Like, I don't want to say anymore. I keep quiet. But what he's trying to say here is that, please be aware that there will come other problems in your life. I don't want to discuss this here. Right? You just pray that the Lord will grant you the grace to go through all these things. Okay? But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Oh, what is Paul trying to say here? You mean, firstly you say as a single, I should stay single, and then if I have a wife, I should not be loose from a wife. And now you say that when I have a wife, I should live as though I don't have a wife? What are you trying to say here? Now read on. And they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it. Why? For the fashion of this world passes away. That is the key down here. For the fashion of this world passes away. What Paul is trying to say here is this. Very soon, whatever material things we have in this world, all these things will fade away. You cannot bring with them to the grave. Whether you are married or whether you are single, you should bear this in mind, that your life down here is only temporal. And you must therefore be prepared to go home to the Lord anytime. Go home to the Lord anytime. And that's why he says, those who have wives be as though they had none. In other words, sometimes we can be so bound to even our own family that we are not prepared even to go home to the Lord. In some sense, the family or your wife or the things of this world become like an idol tying you down. If you have your husband, if you have a wife, therefore both husband and wife must prepare one another for eternity. Sure, of course we will be sad. I mean, sometimes, my wife not here, don't tell her I say this. Sometimes, sometimes you know, my wife will ask and say, no, what happened if I'm gone? You know, go where, Lord? And then sometimes she asks herself, what happened if you are gone? I mean, naturally you ask all these things, right? Because we love one another. But then again, the reality of things is that if it's the Lord's time for either husband or wife to go, it is the Lord's timing, and the Lord's timing is always the best. We must be prepared for it. And we therefore must not allow ourselves to be so bound by the things of this world. Are we ready for eternity? That's what Paul is trying to say here. Are you ready for eternity if you are married? Right. Therefore, prepare one another for eternity. Then verse 32, he goes on to say, but I will not have you with carefulness, anxiousness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. He that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. So we have gone through this. Verse 34 also says, there is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be both holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, is for your own edification, is for your own learning, not to stumble you, but for that which is comely means that which is appropriate, that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. And you come to verse 36. Okay, since we have some time, allow me today, okay, to finish this. Okay, verse 36. But if any man think that he behave himself uncomely towards his virgin, in other words, right, if really the Lord has directed you that you should marry this particular woman, and if she passed the flower of her age, in other words, it's of her appropriate age. I mean, there are certain ages whereby it's just really not appropriate. Okay, you should know what I'm trying to say, right? If a girl is too young, of course cannot, right? And need so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth Lord, because this is the Lord's will that they should be together, let them marry, right? Command, let them marry, don't let them sin. Nevertheless, if any man think that he behave, yeah, correct. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but have power over his own will, and so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, he doeth well. Okay, so this one explained. Now, verse 38 talks about the fathers. So then, he that giveth her. Now, this one talks about giving in marriage. Now, I want you to observe verse 38. Who is the one that gives in marriage? Okay, is it she or he in the first place? She or he? Who is the one that gives the girl in marriage? He, right? So it's the father. That's why in the wedding ceremony, you see down here who is the one that you know, the ordaining minister will say, or the solemnizer will say, who giveth this lady to marriage, right? So if the father is still living, of course, if the father is not living, then of course the mother come, right? But if the father is still living, it is the father that gives the lady away, right? Okay, now let me ask you a question. Some of you in Singapore, you like to do gate crashing, right? Gate crashing, yes? True or no? Gate crashing is a Singapore tradition. Sure must have gate crashing. I did not have one. I have very limited one. All I needed to do was to recite a verse and I got through. Happy, yeah. All those get married, I mean, no choice already. So, all those who are getting married, the guys, maybe you should pray that this will happen. Now, sometimes at the gate, right, even Christian marriages, they have a lot of sisters, and then a lot of sisters will go there and then demand certain amount of money to get through, right? And you don't give this amount, cannot get through. True or not? True? Do you think on the light of these scriptures it is biblical? I leave you to think about it. Because in the end, who gives the lady for marriage? It is the father, right? So maybe we should reverse. The sister step one side. The one that should go to the gate is who? Ah, the father. Father should go to the gate. You want my daughter, right? Okay, come, let's negotiate. I should reverse, should have the father go there. Fathers, so take note. Next time you all go to the gate, okay? You want to have my daughter. So all those fathers who have daughters, sorry, Brother Isaac. son. All those who have daughters, go. You want my daughter? I'm the one who give her in marriage. No, I'm going to quote you verse 38. No. So then he giveth her in marriage, doeth well. But he that giveth her not in marriage, doeth better. Can quote this? Cannot. This one, the whole meaning, remember in the context, it talks about, right? Remember the whole context of singlehood and marriage. Now, if it's your daughter, if there's a man who comes, and it's God's will for them to get married, you should be happy to give your daughter's hand to her in marriage. You do well because you did your best to bring the daughter up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and now it is her time, right, for the next step in her life to serve the Lord in a wholly different capacity. Okay, so you do well. Now, what does it mean then if the lady is single and if you keep her, you do better? Remember the term better in the sense is in the sense of whole context of singlehood and marriage, because this particular lady, if she's single, she can serve the Lord without the concerns of marital problems. So in that particular sense, doeth better. Of course, the overriding principle is whatever is the Lord's will is the best. That is what we must remember. But this also means one thing. This also means one thing. Okay, the father who gives away the daughter have the responsibility to make sure that she gets married to the right man. From a very young age. She gets married to the young man. The daughter is your responsibility. So when she's young, make sure that she knows the scripture well, she's well guarded, she knows exactly what is the biblical concept of marriage. You prepare her from young, and then as she goes out, right, and she gets to know others, right, make sure that the man that she goes along with is a spiritual man. Of course, when you reach a certain age, when your daughter gets a little older, there are certain things that you really can't do. I mean, you can't lock her in the house or anything, right? So when does the guarding start? The guarding really starts when she's very young. She needs to know all these things. And then when she gets older, to give good and proper advice, right, as to how to go about matters. Right? The father, you have that responsibility as the head of the house. So take note. The wife is bound by the law. Now, lastly, okay, 39:40. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. Okay, so this talks about the wife, right? So therefore, right, death, right? Death is the only thing that will release the wife from the marriage covenant till death do us part. And once she is a widow, she will be free to marry. But the condition will be, the command will be, the next person that you are married to, you must make sure that he or she is also a believer. Because now you are a believer. Okay, but she is happier if so abide after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. What Paul is trying to say here is, I think she is happy if she remain single. Right? After her husband dies. And I think this is not the wrong advice, because I have the Spirit of God and I'm writing in the capacity of the apostle, as an apostle. So does that mean that Paul is trying to say that all widows, let's say if the husband dies, shouldn't get married? Should I ask the ladies now? I should ask the ladies. Huh? Okay, let me ask Caris now. Caris. Okay, Caris. How? One day, let's say it happened. I'm not saying it will happen. How? Okay, if one day, let's say, Boon Hao is taken home by the Lord, you have to be prepared for it, right, according to the scriptures. So he's taken home by the Lord. Should you stay single as what the Apostle Paul writes here, or should you get married? Apostle Paul writes here, no? She is happier if she so abide. We'll see what is God's plan. Our time is up. I'm not going to answer the question. All the ladies, consider. See you. Next week is November 1. November. Not November 1st. 22nd. So, okay, you will still see me next week. So, next week, God willing, we will examine this particular question. I present the answer, okay? God bless. See you next week. God willing. Let us pray. We don't go first. Pray first. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this time of learning that we can have. We pray that You will grant us good wisdom from Thy Holy Scriptures and help us always to follow Thy truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.